The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me and obey my commandments, I will give you, and I will ask the Father, and he will send you another Paraclete, the Advocate. He will be with you always, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot accept since it neither sees him nor recognizes him. But you can recognize him because he remains with you and will be within you. I will not leave you orphan. I will come back to you a little while now, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me as one who has life, and you will have life. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Anyone who obeys my commandments, which he has from me, is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. Again, as I've said the past few weeks, delightful readings as we follow the resurrection celebration and all of those challenges that come. The Acts of the Apostles, the first reading, again, summarizing the great movement within the church, the movement of the power of the Holy Spirit. See Philip coming down and preaching, and then James coming with Peter later on, and John, and all celebrating the movement of the power of the Holy Spirit. How important that is. How important that Spirit is for us. And Jesus constantly making it clear, we read from John's Gospel in these days, following Easter, John the Maverick Gospel. The other three are called the Synoptic Gospels. Synoptic, they mean seen at one eye, optic. They see from one perspective and one point of view, but John is the Maverick Gospel, out there on his own. In seminary, we used to like to call it the eye, ear, nose, and throat Gospel. The sensory Gospel, because you feel, you see, you taste, and you touch with John the experience of the good news. Let me ask you a question. How did you feel about AIDS playing last Sunday? Good, good. And then we missed a little opportunity. Why? Because we had the Salve Regina right after that. And you know how that goes. Hail, Holy Queen, enthroned above. Remember? I texted and I said, "Why didn't you keep it going?" And he said, "The choir chickened out." But then I found out later, he told me the truth on Monday morning. He said, "No, he chickened out. The choir had said, hey, why don't we sing that version that's got a bit of spunk and a bit of spirit?" What a great truth. Where is the Spirit? Let me ask you another question. When you pray to God, who do you pray to? Do you pray, or are you more accustomed to praying to God as Father? Hands up. Good. Are you more accustomed to praying to God in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who has manifested himself in this world and been crucified, died, and was buried, and rose from the dead? What about Holy Spirit? Wow. Thank you. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Makes you ask, hey, where is that Holy Spirit? That's the difference maker in the early church. That's the difference maker in this church. That's what it's about. That's what discovering Christ is about, knowing the gift that he has given us, that he offers to us, and how important that becomes in the gospel. Maybe, I'll give you a little hint, maybe clericalism helps us to avoid that reality. We're reflecting on clericalism these weeks. Keep working on it. Maybe that is a piece. Very important. Why do we not have that spirit? How many times have you been invited to receive that spirit? When your parents brought you for baptism, and those of you that were recently confirmed, and you were prepared and asked, hey, do you want some of this? It seems to me we got to ask every Catholic, do you want some of this again and again? It was very important to Jesus. We see that clearly in the gospel. Parting of loved ones is very significant in our lives. When our family move across country or to another country, it's a very significant event, and we tend to have a sadness. But the greatest parting of all we know is death. Because it is so final, so definitive, we don't really even like to talk about death. It's a pretty unique experience. As a priest, when I have the opportunity to talk to somebody honestly and openly about their death, I had a great occasion not too long ago with Marie Lotus, and she prepared all of the plans for her funeral, all of the songs and the readings and who would do what. Even spoke to the ladies about the arrangements and the meal afterwards, and she said, that'll take all the pressure off of my husband, my family. Pretty awesome experience. And then on Monday night, she hosted us, a bunch of the priests, for a celebration. She said, I want to do this as well, because it was the second anniversary of Father Rouen's death. And we had gone there after the funeral services, and we went there a year ago, and she wanted to celebrate that again. And I thought it was so remarkable. Not afraid of death being an imminent reality. But for many of us as believers, it's a huge anxiety and fear. Why would we not talk about it? Jesus gave the lead to his apostles and to us as well. He sat at that meal the night before he died, and he spoke very openly. He had attempted to hint at it many times as they journeyed along, saying, I'm going to Jerusalem, and here's what's going to happen. Be prepared. But nothing could have really prepared them for it, just as nothing prepares us for the death of our loved ones. No matter how much we think we are prepared, we're never really completely prepared to surrender or to let go. The disciples were in the same kind of a predicament. And Jesus spoke to them about it. Now he talked openly about his death at this supper. Except he didn't speak about death in the way that we tend to speak about it, in the sense that it is life-ending. No, he talked about it, that he was going away and he was going to be with his Father. That's what it is. That's what we believe deep down. And hopefully it invites us again and again to believe in that reality. But so often along the way, we have skewed that real thought. He said, I am going to the Father and I will be with him. And he spoke of his death as something that was good for them, so that it continues. Death is good. Because in all honesty, we can't take care of all of the people in the world already. If we held on to everybody that we want to hold on to, we would be absolutely chaotic. One dies, another comes into the world. It's a constant reality in our lives. Dying and rising is an integral part of our daily experience. Not on that large a level, but in very real ways. But what happened, all of the apostles, all they heard is that he was leaving and going away, and that became the debilitating experience. They didn't hear at that point what he was saying. Later on, they begin to experience it. And so when he dies, they are cast into absolute confusion and despondency and darkness. His farewell speech, which is part of the discourse today, in these last hours with the apostles, he spoke about the essentials, not about peripheral things, not about things that we liked, and not just about memories, but he mostly talked about the future. And what was in the future for them, and what was in the future for him. He spoke directly to them about it. One of the things that he said to them was, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you love me, you will love one another. They're intimately connected in the Gospel of St. John. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments and you will love one another 12 times in this section. It was pretty important to him. We're not talking about keeping specific commandments, the 10 commandments or the 100 commandments or the 130 or the 610 precepts of the old law. We're talking about following the prompting of him within. We call it today Christian discipleship. That's what Christ's life is. Attempting to have a personal relationship with him, which we cannot do on our own. We can only do in the power and grace of the Holy Spirit. But ironically, we work at attempting to do it on our own. Imagine how many things get totally blown out of proportion in our lives due to the absence of the Holy Spirit. We saw and we see in the world the number of people that really pray for that gift. It was very important to Jesus that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He called him the advocate, a legal term, the one who would stand by you, the one who would help you to understand, the one that would clarify things that I have taught you. It's only in him that we can have that personal relationship in Jesus Christ. We really can't call ourselves disciples of Jesus if we don't listen to his word and attempt to put it into practice. He said that is the criteria of relationship with me. If you hear my word, attempt to interiorize it and put it into practice. It's not just about laws. It's about life in him. If you put my life into practice, how I have lived and how I have shown you, one wouldn't be much of a Christian if they didn't try to live as Jesus taught us to live. That is the key to the good news. And we need to be really clear in one thing. And that one thing is that we don't keep the commandments so that God will love us. How many of you have learned that along the way? We keep the commandments and then God will love us. Yes? Sure. We have an overabundance of it. We don't keep the commandments so that God will love us. Wrong. We keep the commandments because he has loved us. The initiative has come from him first. He has first chosen to love us and he has loved us unconditionally.